Thank you, Miss Anita, so much. Singing from her heart to the heart of God this morning. It's good to see you here at our 8:30 worship service this morning here at Crawford Baptist Church. I welcome you in the name of Jesus. I'm Pastor Jay, preaching pastor here, and it's just a joy to have you and welcome you. It's always good when the children come home, as Dr. Bigray Allison used to say. We have Ryan and Kirsten with us today. And who all did you bring with you on this trip? Like, who?
Nate, Natalie, and Samson.
Nate, Natalie, and Samson. All right. And Samson, is he with your parents? Or?
Samson and Natalie are.
In the nursery. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, if many of you remember Pastor Ryan, Miss Kirsten, they have moved to Las Vegas, been there 2 years now, and they are planting Image Church, and they are hoping to continue to see the Lord's work in their ministry, and they are launching in January is that right? It's been a very unusual season for them, as it has been for all of our church planters. It's been very difficult with the COVID pandemic, but I'm going to tell you, we are thrilled to have you guys back with us today to worship here at Crawford Baptist Church, and we look forward to lunch with you in just another hour or two. It's going to be good. And it's good to see you this morning. I want us to pray this morning. This week on Wednesday at 3, we are having a special community remembrance for our veterans in our community. And I'll be there having a prayer in that community service on Wednesday, November 11th at Honor Park. And we also want to praise the Lord for our veterans here at Crawford Baptist Church that have served in the military and protected the freedoms that we hold very dear as a nation. And we are thankful for them. We're thankful for those who are serving now. Right now we have Joshua Wilson, one of our members, serving in Cuba, Guantanamo Bay, with the United States Coast Guard. And he'll be very happy for that year of duty to be over. And he'll be back stateside, but they are serving now. So we remember our veterans today, those who have served, those who are serving. And we want to remember our church planters today and our missionaries, Billy and Sarah Brewer, who will be returning to Tanzania, Lord willing, early next year. If you saw the video when we had our night of prayer, which we had them at home because of the hurricane, which is a little stronger than any of us had anticipated. But we were able to watch those videos of Pastor Ryan and Brother Billy and Sister Billy and Sarah. And also we got to see Dustin Lee, who was planting a church in Atlanta. And so if you haven't followed up on that text from Pastor Glad, please check those videos. They were very encouraging. And also share specific ways we can pray for these guys as they move forward in God's will for their lives. So this morning, I want to pray for us again. It's good to be able to pray. It is good to come together to pray as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want us just to bow our heads. If you would you bow your head with me and we'll close our eyes. And our Father and our God, we humble ourselves before you this morning. And Father, the only way I know that we can truly humble ourselves is to stare Jesus Christ right in the face. Because Father, when we consider the beauty and the glory and the perfection, the sinlessness, the love, the mercy, and the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus, we are nothing but amazed and humble that the King of Glory would die for the likes of us. And so, Father, this morning I pray that those that are in this room at this early hour, you would anoint us to think, to be awake spiritually, to glorify God with our minds this morning. I pray that, God, you would impact us. I pray that we would never be the same again because of this worship experience and this study of your word this morning. I pray, Father, that you would alter the life trajectory of everyone in this room, that we would seek a deeper relationship with you and with your Son, Jesus Christ, and that, Lord, our love for you would increase exponentially. So, Father, I pray that you would help us now to set our mind's attention and our heart's affection upon you, and that we would praise you for who you are and for what you have done in and through the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, today I do pray. I pray for Ryan and Kirsten and their precious family that has traveled from Las Vegas to be back home in Mobile. I pray, Father, that you would, Lord, keep them safe, that you would bless them in their travels. I pray that you would refresh them as they visit with family and friends and their faith family today. I pray, Father, that you would, oh God, open up doors that the enemy cannot shut for them in their ministry and church plant in Las Vegas. I pray that you would continue to build their core team, those who, Lord, rally around them and surrender. Lord, they're all to Jesus to reach Las Vegas and the West with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will supply their needs financially. I pray, Father, that you would provide them a place to gather where they can gather together and worship you. As we are able week after week here just to come to this location, Father, they need a place where they can all gather. I pray you'll continue to strengthen their small groups that they have. And God, that you would grow them deep in your word. And Father, today I do pray. I thank you for our nation. I thank you, Father, for, again, the men and women who have served our nation to protect our freedom. And Father, we pray even today, oh God, that you would preserve and protect our freedom to gather and worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray that you would enable us today to experience the Holy Spirit and to be strengthened by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. But this morning, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, if you will turn with me first off, and this is going to catch our media guys a little bit, but it's okay, because we have Bibles. And I'm going to ask you to turn, if you would, for a moment to Philippians chapter 1. Now, we're going to Mark 1:35 momentarily. But first, I want to take you where I have been in my God time in recent days. I have spent the last 2 days in Philippians 1:27 through 30 in my God time. And I just wanted to read those verses. We're going to come back to them toward the end of the message. But we are living in a day and an age where it is helping us realize that we have an enemy. We need to realize that the lost culture is not our friend, that it is against Christ and his church. We are in a time in our nation, we're nowhere near where they were during the Roman Empire, as we studied Romans 13 for 3 weeks, verses 1 through 7. Again, we do not have a Nero in power. We don't have a Nero coming to power at this time in our nation's history. So we are thankful for that. But we live in a very difficult time. And many things lie ahead in the future for which we cannot see, but God knows them already. But I can tell you this, he's still building his church. Jesus is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And I could preach the whole thing kind of on that theme, and I'm not going to do that today. But I want you to see Philippians chapter 1, and what an incredible chapter this is. I was telling some of our students recently, you know, every time I'm in God time in a book, it's like I want to preach that book. And I can't just do that right now. But Philippians is an incredible short letter, but it's loaded. But if you'll look in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. The Apostle Paul says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you're standing, notice it, firm in one spirit. Now in the ESV, that's a lowercase s. Dr. Gordon Fee argues that that would be a capital S, that we stand firm in and by the Holy Spirit, which is what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 teaches us. There is one Spirit and we're united in Him. But either way you translate Spirit there, we are still to be standing firm in one Spirit with one mind. Now notice this, striving. This is a very unusual word here. Striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. The imagery there would be that of the Roman legions advancing shoulder to shoulder, step by step, moving forward to advance the kingdom, the empire of Rome. And so Paul is saying here, as Christians, we're to be striving with one mind side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's what we're not advancing a human kingdom. We're advancing God's kingdom. Amen? And that's what you see there in Philippians 1, 27. And then notice verse 28, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. That's a good word. This is a clear sign to them, our opponents, the opponents of God, of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. And here, both the destruction of the God-haters, so to speak, the opponents of God's church, and then the salvation of the redeemed, both of those will come from God. Verse 29. And this is where I was really focusing for today in my God time. Verses 29 and 30. For it's been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake. We just gloss over that. We just fly right over. I'm believing. For the sake of Christ, I believe. And yet we're not really strengthened to realize that suffering is also a gift from God to His church. And I don't preach these words lightly. I don't like to suffer. I was watching the ball game last night with Daniel Paul, and I jab myself, and I take an aspirin a day, so it's like I have a little faucet of blood just coming right out of your chest. I mean, I don't like suffering. I'm sitting there with a piece of tissue trying to stop the bleeding. I don't even like that. I'm not a sufferer. I'm not a lover of suffering. But the Bible teaches pretty consistently throughout that gift of faith is there, but also the gift of suffering comes from God to His people in the church. And we'll say more about that at the end of the message. But notice this now, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Philippians 1, 27 through 30. It was yesterday when the Lord kind of put that on my heart to use to introduce what we're about to do. As we mentioned Wednesday night, for those who were in here with me on Wednesday night, we listened to a podcast from Allie Beth Stuckey as she interviewed Rod Dreher, who has written a book, Live Not by Lies. If you have not heard or seen that podcast, I would encourage you to go to YouTube, Allie Beth Stuckey. You can find it. It was from last Monday. It was the Monday before the election when she did that interview with Rob Dreher, who wrote the book, Live Not by Lies. And he's a very in-tune observer of our culture and what is going on, what has been going on, what's going to continue to be going on. We will not win this war in the short term. It ain't happening. And he says, we must prepare our children and our young people to suffer for the sake of the gospel, or else the visible church will continue to dwindle away. Fascinating discussion. and I think very appropriate. And so we were heading into the 5G life anyway. We have a 5-week series on what I'm calling essential Christianity, the 5G life. Essential Christianity, meaning these are not options like when we go to a buffet and you say, hey, I'd like some of that. No, I don't want that. You know, these are not things we get to pick and choose from. These are five essential elements of Christian discipleship. The 5G life, referencing God time, gather time, group time, give time, and go time. These are five essential elements of biblical Christianity that we need to have a firm grasp on. Yet once again, been years ago since we first introduced this. Pastor Ryan was here. He developed a lot of graphics for this series. It was a lot longer then. We're just going to do five messages, one on each of the G's in the 5G life. But this is time, church. This is time to be serious with Christ and to take our responsibility as followers of Christ seriously. God intends for you and me, His people, to thrive no matter what is taking place in this nation or around the world at this time. God intends for His people to thrive in the Middle East, to thrive in India, to thrive in Southeast Asia, to thrive wherever they may be. And there are some areas around this world that are hot pockets of intense persecution, where there is no 911, where there is no help coming. If you call the police, they would join those who are trying to kill you. And God's design is that we would thrive as we believe and as we suffer for the sake of Christ. And so that has driven me back to the drawing board, right? Pandemic comes. We have some church on video. It's easy just to like not go. So we will see, as God is testing His people right now, we will see the true church. In America, we've had Disney World church. And the more lights and fog and fun things we have for the kiddos and stuff, and the better the nursery and the better the youth ministry and the more games you can do, and you know, all of these fun things. Listen, life ought to have some fun in it. But it is not predominantly about fun. It is about glorifying God through our lives, living a life worthy as a citizen of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are a citizen of heaven, Philippians 3:20 says, right? We're to behave as citizens worthy of the gospel. And that's a completely different framework that has to take hold of our minds if we do survive and thrive. Amen. And so this morning, I want you to turn over to Mark chapter 1. This is what we had been promoting Wednesday night. I mentioned Mark 1:35 and everything, and we put it on Facebook as we do each week, letting you know what's coming up. The outline, the notes are on Facebook, all of that. You see, today we're going to begin this series on the 5G life. I'm going to have to step on it. All right? But this is so foundational. This is so critical. This is so crucial today. And let me just say that Christianity is really characterized, and it's all about three ultimate relationships. Christianity is about three ultimate relationships. Our relationship, first and foremost, with God. Then we have our relationship with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we have a relationship to a lost world. A lost world that may not agree with us politically. A lost world that lives in darkness and loves that darkness. And they do not like the light. In fact, Jesus says and John says they hate the light. And what are we? We are salt and light. And so we should not be surprised when they hate us, because the closer we are to being the salt that Christ wants us to be and the light that He desires us to be and that we are in Him, then the more the world will indeed hate us. So these are three key relationships. You can summarize them with the words abide. Our relationship with God, we are to abide with God. Then we are to connect with one another, brothers and sisters. Amen. And then we are to share the good news of Christ, the gospel, with those who are not saved. Those are three key relationships. Big question, how do you develop these three key relationships of Christianity? How can we do that? Let me ask an even simplified question. How is it that you develop any relationship? Now, here's the thing about that question. It's so cool because how do you develop any relationship? Our teenagers, our college students, our middle schoolers and high schoolers that are here, how do you develop a relationship? Time. You invest time in the lives of individuals. I mean, if you are a sophomore in high school, you understand this. You don't have to be a rocket scientist, right? Or a graduate of Harvard University to understand that you build relationships by spending time with people. That's what we do. Guys attracted to girls, girls attracted to guys, what do? You find out their phone number so they can text one another. That sounds weird, but it's probably how it's done today, right? Using technology. But again, relationships are strengthened, they're built and strengthened by the amount of time that we invest into those different relationships. Every relationship in my life is developed when I choose to invest time in that relationship. And so even our young people in the room at the 8:30 service understand how you have a relationship. Right? You don't just get the letter jacket by not communicating with her. Now, in the old days, we used to give our class rings. Do they still do that? Did they do that when y'all were coming along? No? Yeah, I didn't do. All right, so see, that's really a long. Now, Brother David remembers. You remember, if you were going steady, you'd give the girl your class ring. And they'd put some stuff up in there so it would fit on their finger. Because usually the guy's finger is a little bigger than the girl's. But Pam, you remember? Y'all remember those days? You and Ronnie remember those days? All right. You give your class ring. That means you don't look at her too much and you don't touch her because she's mine. And I'll take that ring off her finger and beat you with it if you do. All right. And then, of course, it got to be where you'd wear their letter in a sport. And you let her in a sport and then you give her your jacket or she'd give you her jacket. Maybe she's a volleyball lady, right? So she'd give whatever, but how do you spend time getting to know one another, and you in that you grow in that relationship. And so here's our big question today. It's very personal and it's meant to be, but I want you to answer it honestly because God knows your answer. How much time do you spend alone with God daily? How much time do you spend alone with God daily? A survey was done last decade. A survey says that 81% of Christians do not read their Bibles at all during the week. They don't read their Bibles consistently, regularly. 81%. Today, I want to talk about our first G in the 5G life. It's called God time. And here's the definition of God time. God time is time spent daily alone in fellowship with God. God time is time spent daily alone in fellowship with God. And this is significant. Major Ian Thomas had this famous quotation, "The Christian life is nothing less than the life he lived then, lived now by him in you." All right? And so, in other words, the Christian life is not ordinary. It's not natural. It's completely supernatural. And so, the Christian life is nothing less than the life that Jesus lived then, live now by him in you. You see, Jesus Christ did not save me so I can get in there and grit my teeth and tighten my belt and all of that and try the hardest I can to live for Jesus. Jesus did not save me for me to live my life for him. Jesus saved me and you, by the way, if you are saved, so that he can live his life in and through you. That's the secret of the Christian life. And I want you to look at Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verse 35. This is our memory verse for the week. I've got another one I'll suggest to you in a few moments, but Mark 1, 35 is not a bad one. Some of you have a problem with it already when you first look down at it. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Mark 1:35. Everything Jesus did, he did out of the overflow of his intimacy with the Father. Now, I want you to see these. There are two main points, and I have some little sub-points that will help you practically, all right? Number one, Jesus spent time with the Father. We see that in this verse, Mark 1:35. Jesus spent time with the Father. I want you to see how this time was. Jesus' time with the Father was intentional. All right, that's kind of like number one there. You'll see it on the screen. It was intentional. It wasn't accidental. He didn't stumble into having time alone with the Father in prayer. He planned it. Jesus got up. He got the bed off his back. He got up and he had his God time, his time alone with his Father. J. Oswald Sanders, in his great book, Spiritual Leadership, J. Oswald Sanders says this: "We are now and we will be in the future only as intimate with God as we choose to be." So, are you planning time alone with God? All right. Today is not slapping anybody on the hand. My aim today is for me and for you to have a better, stronger, more consistent God time with the Father. That's my plan. That's my goal. That's my spiritual objective for the day. So number one, it was intentional, rising very early. Dr. John MacArthur, in discipling men in his ministry and out in LA where he serves, as we know at Grace Community Church, they have some very busy men working, doing things. And so he said, you know, my day is pretty full. He said, well, what about 5 a.m? What are you doing then? He'd have intentional Bible study at 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning before those men had to be in the office at 7 or 8. My point here is not you got to get up at 5. I'm not saying that. But we do need an intentional time in our day to seek God in his word. Number two, it was in the morning. It was in the morning. You'll see, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark. No, the point here would be, again, for me, give God your priority time, not your leftover time. Give God your priority time, not your leftover time. We need to fix our hearts on God every day. We need to fix our hearts anew and afresh on God every day. Why? Why? Well, Jeremiah 17:9 is a good why. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can know his own heart? Our hearts work against us. Our hearts are the inner core of our mind. It's really the center of who we are. It's the seat of where we make our choices. That's our heart. And our hearts, we know, are sinful. Even as Christians, we still wrestle with the flesh, the Bible teaches. There's a great quotation here from a man named Clyde Cranford. He was a disciple-making machine. Lived in Memphis, Tennessee. Gone to be with the Lord. But Clyde Cranford said this, and it is on the screen if you want to take a picture of that or something, but Clyde Cranford wrote this: if we do not fix our hearts on God in the morning, they will fix on the first thing that comes along. When temptation comes, our hearts will fix on that, and we will sin. Or when an opportunity comes along that may not be God's will, our hearts will fix on that opportunity. Then if we go to God at all, we go not for guidance, but for permission. And there's a vast difference between the two. We need, if we're going to thrive as Christians in this time, and before last week, in that time too, and in next week, if we're going to thrive as Christians, we must train our hearts to seek God when we rise. Now, if you're a college student and you get up at 11 in the morning, then you seek God then. If you get up at 5 in the morning, seek God then. Does it have to be morning, Pastor Jay? Sometimes I do mine at 1 in the morning, even before I lie down at night. The key point is we give God priority time, not leftover time. So, it's intentional. It was in the morning. That's just in the Bible. Number 3, it was without distractions. It's without distractions. Our memory verse says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark." Now notice this. He departed and went out to a desolate place. See, he left the house. He left the other disciples that they were camping out on the road. And he avoided distractions. Right? And he was able to be alone with the Father in prayer. So, my question is, are you a distracted person? Are you a distracted person? Is there anything that you have on your person? Are you distracted right now? I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor Jay. My usage time was down a little bit this week. I mean, but is there anything that you have that distracts you from being intense and intimate with God? It's a good picture. That's Dalton and Brianna. That's a good little, I like that already. That's good. That's good. You see, if you're like me and you're sitting there and you're praying, and I've got my spot. I have my spot. And then you hear a ding on your phone. It's like, well, God will understand. So you click on Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever you do. Now, am I against this? No. I mean, if you leave home without this now, you feel like you have lost a limb of your body. I had a guy last week at the Reformation Day party we were at say, you know, I left my phone at home and I feel like I lost one of my limbs. And I understand what he was saying. We you know, you leave home without your phone, it's like, I mean, we got to have the phone. Now, we don't talk on the phone very much. We do everything, you know, but talk on. But we still got to have the phone. I understand. But again, what distracts you? Maybe it's your phone. Maybe it's your tablet. Or your laptop, or your television, or your newspaper. Does anyone still get a newspaper? I know they're almost extinct. But here's the thing. What distracts you? We've got to be able to identify that and deal with that. All right? So Jesus did it without distractions. He also, number 4, did it alone. He went out to a desolate place, right? A desolate place. He got away from other people. Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say, the pastor who is always available isn't worth much when he is available. And that's pretty true. I have to recharge. If I don't recharge my spiritual tank, if I don't get my spiritual heart recharged, I'm not worth much to you when you call. You know, you got COVID, you're being rushed to the hospital, and you want somebody spiritually energized to pray for you and be encouraging to you and this kind of stuff. Hey, my tank runs empty just like yours does. In fact, what Dr. Adrian Rogers said, he said it in a sermon about pastors from Acts chapter 6, preaching about why they created the office of deacon anyway, is to give pastors time to pray and study and then preach the word. And the deacons handled the sick folks and the homebound and got the food delivered to the Grecian-speaking widows and all that kind of stuff to keep the church from having a split there in Jerusalem back in Acts chapter 6. But, you know, the principle there is true for everybody. We all need time alone with God daily if we're going to be growing and being strengthened spiritually. And then number five, you'll notice it's consistent. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Now, the intent here is that it was a regular habit or pattern in his life. In fact, Luke chapter 5 verse 16 says this, but he would withdraw to desolate places, that'd be like empty places, people without people being there, all right, and pray. It was his custom. It was his habit. Now, which of these five characteristics describe your time alone with God? Intentional, in the morning, without distractions, alone, consistent. Let me rephrase that question because I've got to move along. Which of these five characteristics do you struggle with the most? Which of these five do you just pick one. Which do you struggle with the most? Have you got it? I can't move on. Do you get it? You got it. Which one do you struggle with the most? I mean, the first one's a good one. Distractions is the great one. Pick one. Because, see, my next question is, what's your next step? What you gonna do about it? I mean, it's the God of the universe that you're talking to, that you're spending time alone daily in fellowship with God, our Creator God, our Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are communing with the triune God, the Trinitarian God of the Bible. And you say, oh, you know, I kind of do that in my nightgown. Well, he saw that overnight anyway. It's all right. I hope. Not that I wear a nightgown, but it's all right. He'll see me in my pajamas. Well, he sees you in everything. He does. So what's your next step? What will you, you don't tell me. What will you do as a pledge to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, I'm gonna be intentional, and I hope Pastor Jay gives me some practical tips on that, but I'm going to be intentional about getting up before I rush off to school and praying and reading my Bible. What is your next step? That's a huge question. All right, that leads me to point two, and I only have 2 points. All right. Number one, Jesus spent time alone with the Father. Number two, Jesus spent time alone with the Father so that the Father could accomplish His purpose through Him. Jesus spent time alone with the Father so that the Father could accomplish His purpose through Him. And here's the thing. If Jesus needed time alone with the Father daily, how much more do you and I need time alone with the Father daily? I'll give you a life-changing reality here, all right? Jot this down. Life-changing reality. Everything God desires to do through my life, everything God desires to do through my life, He will do out of the overflow of my love relationship with Him. Y'all see that? Everything God desires to do through my life, He will do out of the overflow of my love relationship with Him. So here comes the question. How can I spend time alone daily with God? Let me give you a couple of things here. 3 things here and about 5 more really practical things and I'll be done. All right, here we go. How can I spend time alone with God? All right. Number one, establish the proper goal. Establish the proper goal. The goal is not to read so many chapters every day. That is not the goal. My goal is to read that Bible twice through in a year. Well, as a very famous theologian, Mr. Darling, said, more power to you. you really need to beef up on Andy Griffin. All right. Y'all deprived of some Andy Griffin. Anyway, I thought that would work well. I'll have to leave that out at 10:30. Your goal is not to read 2 chapters a day, 3 chapters a day. I've been focusing on 4 or 5 verses the last 2 days. Some of you have Bible reading plans and you are so stressed out and you're almost burned out because you're not keeping up with your Bible reading plan. Are Bible reading plans good? They are. What's more beneficial for you, to go deeper in 3 verses or to read 6 chapters? I read my 6 chapters. Now I got 8 tomorrow. Oh, Lordy. Well, what did you learn? Learn? I'm just trying to get them checked off. Let's think about this. That's not the objective, is to check off boxes. The objective is to know God by spending time with God in His Word. I have no guilt on being 2 verses, Philippians 1, 29 and 30. Those were some deep verses. I mean, the gift of faith and the gift of suffering. That takes a while to process. I'm still processing that. Establish the proper goal. Your goal is to know God by spending time with Him daily. Number 2, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart through prayer. Before you get ready to read, pray, confess your sins. Pray Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. If you want another memory verse for this week, man, Psalm 119, 18 is it. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Meaning, for us, the Word of God. God, open my eyes that I can see. So prepare your heart through prayer. Prepare your heart through having faith in God's presence. Realize God is with you. At 5 in the morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock, 6:30, 9 o'clock, 10 at night, whenever you're having your God time and reading the Bible and calling upon the Lord, He's with you all the time. Amen? I mean, He is. But don't forget that when you're doing God time, He is with you and He's opening your eyes to see and learn more about Him. Have faith in His presence. Thirdly, have patience. Don't rush your time with God. Don't rush your time with God. Have patience with God. Enjoy His presence. You know, establish the proper goal. Prepare your heart. Enjoy God's presence. Allow the Word of God to become the centerpiece of a conversation that you have with God. Read the Word of God with an awareness of God and with an awareness of God's awareness of you. Never forget, as you're reading God's Word, it's just not you like struggling to keep your eyes open while you're reading or having it read to you on your phone. When we're in the, God is with us in that moment. And then patience. The only limitation to your God time is time. Amen. Let me mention this. This is another great quotation from Clyde Cranford, and I'm almost done. All right? But listen to this quotation. You'll see it on the screen. For the Christian, his entire life is to be an intimate walk with God. But that intimacy is developed one day at a time as he sets aside each day some increment of time exclusively for communion with his God. There is no substitute for this time. This is where intimacy begins. Clyde Cranford. What a powerful quotation, a challenging quotation. So, here we're landing the plane. Here are just five very brief, quick things. You've heard me teach them from this pulpit before, but they certainly fit in this message today. Number 1, pray for the desire to read and study Scripture. Pray for the desire to read and study Scripture. Now, we just kind of naturally have a desire to watch Alina of Avalor, or Wildcrats, or Dora, depending on where you are with your age. Sports Center, Clemson Notre Dame football game. I mean, we just have desires to watch certain things. Remember, to spend time with God is a spiritual discipline. It's kind of like Rod Dreher had spoken at an evangelical Christian college in our nation. This was back in 2017. He was doing a tour on the Benedict Option, I think was the title of the book then that he'd written. And he spoke, and at the end of his talk there on the college campus, the Christian, evangelical, conservative Christian college campus, a young lady, he said, stood up in the back and said, "Sir, excuse me, why do you keep insisting that we have spiritual disciplines? Why can't we just love Jesus like Mama and Daddy said we should?" And he tried to explain the significance of, I mean, the word discipleship, a root there is the word discipline. And so therefore, as we see in the life of Jesus and the apostles and all these things, we there are certain things that we must do if we're going to truly love. Gee, how can you love someone whom you do not know? And so he tried to explain this to this young lady, and he could just tell by her gaze, she's not getting it. And after the discussion was all over, a professor came up to Rod Dreher and said, "Sir," said, "let me just say, 99% of the people on this Christian college have the same view toward God as that young lady." And you see, he kind of hit a nail there in that podcast. He said, you know, we're not discipling our people in our churches, and we're not, as parents, discipling our children in our homes. And if you've been around here long at all, especially this year, we did a whole series back in January, February, March, on the importance of being a godly husband and a godly wife and being a godly parent and of having family worship in your home. Beloved, this is a significant challenge where we stand today. It's staring us right in the face. And I'm going to tell you step number one, if you're jotting these down or you can find them on the Facebook, Crawford Facebook page. Number one, pray for the desire to read and study God's Word. It's not natural. Number two, pray for understanding. That goes back to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. God, help me understand. Help me learn this scripture. Help me live this scripture out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Make me be salt. Make me be light. Help me to be kind. Help me to be long-suffering. Help me to be evangelistically motivated. Give me boldness. If you prayed that lately, give me boldness. Number three, learn how to study God's Word. Learn how to study God's Word. Now that's going to come through community groups, which we're going to talk about, and some of them are already meeting, and I want to encourage our groups, even though we probably won't go back to one service on Sunday morning the rest of this year. That's just probably how that will be. That could change in 2 weeks. That'd be wonderful. I'm ready for it, but we cannot get everybody from both services typically into this room and be socially distanced and safe. We cannot do it. That's why we're maintaining two services. The music team would like one. The pastor would like one. I have said many times, no one in the world wants more than one service, more than Daniel Paul and Mary Grace. No one. But we do it for safety. One of our wise deacons said in our meeting with pastors the other week, you know, the risk outweigh the benefits at this point right now from making that transition. But you need to learn how to study God's Word. Be discipled. Right? More on that coming up, I promise you. Number four, have a plan. Have a plan. I mean, have something. You're not going to get up at 4 in the morning and not have a plan. My plan is to roll over and go back to sleep. Amen? That's my plan. If you don't have a good plan, get a plan. Pick a book of the Bible and read through it. Right? Use your ESV study Bible. Many of you have that. That's an excellent start and resource. There are also tremendous ESV commentaries now. Some of you have ordered those, I know, because you've spoken with me. I use those when I'm doing my God time now. Order a volume, and it's just got some good commentary in it that go along as you read your script. Take your time, enjoy the reading and the time with God alone, and learn and be blessed. Have a plan. Number five, have a time and have a place. Have a plan of what you're going to read, all right, and then have a time and have a place. Remember, your goal, your aim here is quality, not quantity. Quality, not quantity. That is so hugely important. All right, as a close, this is my God time journal. Just wanted to share this with you as we close today. Philippians 1, 27 to 30. Father, help us behave as citizens worthy of the gospel. This is the first imperative of this letter when it says in there to let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. That's the first command you have in Philippians. This is the first imperative of the letter, and all subsequent imperatives, commands to us, flesh out what it means to behave as citizens worthy of the gospel. The gospel is the gold standard for the Christian life, and as such, its worth and weight govern the Christian life. Father, help us have gospel unity. You remember that one. That's like prayer goal number one. Amen? Gospel unity. You see it right there in Philippians 1, do you not? You know, Father, help us have gospel unity at Crawford Baptist Church, standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Help us not be frightened by our opponents. Father, you have given your people two gifts, faith and persecution. When the flame of faith shines in a dark place, the darkness will try to douse that faith and snuff it out. Persecution is a parable that puts the death and resurrection of Christ on display again and again. Persecutors try to kill the faith of believers like they tried to kill Jesus, but faith rises just like Jesus did. When persecutors try everything in their power to kill faith, but faith refuses to die, resurrection power is on display. Father, your power preserves our faith. He who began the good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Christ, going back to Philippians 1:6, and nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from your almighty grip of grace. That was my thought from Philippians 1:27 to 30. That was deep and encouraging. And brothers and sisters, I just want to say today, if we're going to not only survive but thrive as Christians, may I plead with you, find a way to begin having fellowship daily alone with God. Don't start in Leviticus. Start with Gospel of John. Start with 1 John. Get a book of the Bible. Say, I'm going to work through this book. I'm going to invest some money. I'm going to get a study Bible. If you don't have one, ESV study Bible, awesome resource. Good start book. But brothers and sisters, listen, this is important. We have people walking away from the church because we are not intimate with God. Jesus is building his church. The problem is, in Disney World Church, there are a lot of people that are there just for the rides. And so, if the power's out and the rides aren't running, and the cotton candy is not available, and they don't have the dance shows going on, then we're out of here. It will get darker, even darker spiritually in the future before it will get brighter. And if we're here playing the game, you won't survive. And it begins with God time. Essential Christianity 101, God time. This morning, if you're here We haven't done this since the pandemic. But this morning, if you need prayer, want prayer, I'm going to be standing down here as our music people come. Pastor Glad's in the building. Pastor Jared's in the building. I'm going to take this off, put my mask back on. Pam is in the building. Others who would feel free to pray with you are in this building. If you need prayer, if God is drawing you to Himself, I mean, the good news is the good news that the just and gracious God of the universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people, and He still sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. Right? He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, to bear His wrath against our sin on the cross and to show His power over sin by resurrecting Jesus, amen, glory, hallelujah, from the dead, so that everyone who turns from their sin, that's repentance, and believes in Christ, that is faith, will be reconciled to God forever. And this morning, our prayer is that God will save hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in the Mobile area. That God would grant this church spiritual unity, gospel unity in Christ. And that God would enable us and other churches to disciple, not play church. To see family worship in our homes. It's more important than Monday night football or Thursday night football or Friday night football or Saturday football or Sunday football or whatever else you fill in the blank. It's more important. Church, we've been sitting back. It's past time to take God and His Word seriously. And this morning, if you are prompted to come, I'm going to be standing right down here. And I know you don't have to come. I understand that. But if you have a need for prayer, if you say, Pastor Jay, I have been saved. I just want somebody to pray with me about that. I have been saved. I need to be baptized. I want to talk with someone about it. You come. If you say, hey, I've been saved. I'm baptized. I would like to connect with this faith family and become a covenant member of Crawford Baptist Church. You can come. If you just want me or Pam or someone else in this room just to pray for you or your family or someone in your family, you come. I know what time it is. It's okay. We start at 10:30 this next one. We have time. We want to respond to God's grace, church. And so if you'll stand with me, I'm going to take my place down front. And as you stand and close your eyes for just a moment.